May the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Today's homily is entitled Beach Music. In 1961, five lads from Norfolk, Virginia, came together and gave their singing group the name Humdingers. Well, shortly thereafter, they gave themselves a different name. They renamed themselves the Showmen, and thereafter began a series of hits. One of those hits was one song entitled Beach Song, entitled 39-21-40 Show. It was misprint, so it later became known as 39-21-46. In the second refrain of that beach song, the lyrics go like this. She'll make the blind man see. She will make the crippled man walk. She will make the quietest man in the world talk. Aha, ha, ha. Now, you may be wondering why this beach song is part of the sermon today. Well, you're going to find out. He hath done all things well. These are the words of those who witnessed Jesus' healing of the deaf and dumb man. This is the miracle preceding the feeding of the 4,000. This is also the only recording of this miracle in all four Gospels, indeed of all the Scriptures. As we learned earlier in the lesson, the feeding of the 5,000 was tailored for the Greeks, the Hellenists, while the feeding of the 4,000 was saved for the Jews, or God's chosen people. St. Mark's Gospel, the feeding of the 4,000, actually occurs chronologically after the feeding of the 5,000. So chronologically, the Jews were fed after the Gentiles. This does not mean that Jesus sought to bring the good news to the Gentiles first, against his father's wishes. The feeding of the Jews recorded secondly may be an editorial choice, but it signifies that even though the Gentiles first accepted Christ as Messiah while the Jews did not, Jesus was still willing to minister first to God's chosen people, even unto Golgotha and his crucifixion. Ironically, both miracles took place in the same heathen Gentile area known as the Decapolis, on the beaches of Lake Gennesaret. So there again, the beaches ties us into this lesson today. This event, along with the demon-possessed man of Legion fame, marks the introduction of Jesus' ministry into a non-Jewish territory. The Decapolis, Day being Latin for 10, was so named because it comprised 10 free Greek villages, except for Scythopolis, east of the Sea of Galilee and the River Jordan. And although the Decapolis was a Gentile territory, many Jewish people made homes here as well. Now, there is still some debate as to whether the two recorded feedings of the multitudes were the same event. However, modern research shows us, and most scholars now accept, that these are two separate events. So today's gospel passage is one of only two lessons, according to St. Mark, that are given in this 20 plus minus Trinity season. The gospel, according to Mark, by all accounts, was the first synoptic gospel written. It is believed that St. Matthew and St. Luke used St. Mark's gospel as a guideline from which they wrote their gospels. St. Matthew, a Jew, wrote his gospel with a Jewish focus, while St. Luke, a physician and Gentile, wrote his gospel with a native Gentile focus. And all three synoptic gospels, for your sake, depict the humanity of Christ, while St. John's gospel, the fourth one, depicts the divinity of Christ. St. Mark, a Jew, is also a cousin of St. Barnabas, a companion of St. Paul. Sometimes he's referred to as John Mark. John is a Hebrew name, while Mark is a Roman name. And St. Mark was a close associate of St. Peter and was often described as St. Peter's interpreter. That would also make him close to St. Andrew, who was St. Peter's brother. He was an expert in Jewish customs, translated Aramaic words into Greek, and used Latin terms instead of Greek phrases. And anyone who studied Koine Greek understands what this means. Today's gospel miracle is followed by the feeding of the 4,000 as the vehicle Christ used to broadcast the good news to God's chosen people. When Jesus commanded "Ephphatha" in Aramaic, it meant "be opened." Instantaneously, the man was able to hear and speak. If we dissect this miracle, the following events took place. First, that Jesus touched the man with his hands. This signifies a hands-on God, intimately involved in our lives. Secondly, this miracle was performed in private, unlike the showman who wanted to be out there for everyone to see. This was done in private. The scripture says, and he took him aside from the multitude. Prior to this private session, most of Jesus' miracles were performed in public. But by performing this miracle in private, Jesus was symbolizing the performing of good deeds where no eyes see but only God's eyes. Good deeds done with humility and in private bring great pleasure to God. Thirdly, Jesus looked up to heaven to give his Father praise for what he had done, because Jesus did not seek the praise of men like men seek for themselves. All our action, words, and deeds are recorded in heaven, and one day we will all be held accountable for those choices. Fourthly, Jesus sighed in the process, not as a sign of difficulty, but as an expression of the sins of men and the hardships of this world when it comes to temptation. Jesus knew that this man would now be subject to the temptation of sin by the stumbling block of the ear and the tongue. Our sighs are unspoken prayers to our Heavenly Father. Our sighs are pure expressions of our innermost thoughts and feelings to God. It is recorded that Jesus used his spittle and touched the man's tongue. This action represents that the truth comes forth from the mouth of God. That this miracle occurred prior to the feeding of the 4,000 is also significant. These symbols, the miracle and the feeding, are linked together in what God intends for us to see and understand, as will become evident later in this homily. In Matthew 15 we read, then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. But he answered her a word not. And his disciples came and urged Jesus, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. But he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered her back and said, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This passage supports the doctrine that Jesus was meant to bring his ministry first to the nation of Israel, and secondly, to the heathen Gentiles, as we read in Acts 13. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. This doctrine is further underscored in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. I believe that we should take pause and give thanks by remembering this anonymous Syrophoenician woman from the land of Canaan. If it were not for her unwavering faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, then salvation may not have been afforded us. She is the first Gentile convert to Christianity who had enough faith in Jesus. Her faith opened up the door for all succeeding generations of Gentiles. Again, the command Jesus gave, Ephatha, was to be opened. This marks the point when salvation was open to the entire world. No longer would God's salvation be restricted to his chosen people. It took the unbridled faith of a mother who loved her daughter so much to see Jesus as the only true Messiah and Son of God. Nevertheless, Jesus came first to minister to his chosen people, the house of Israel. They were both deaf and dumb, as the scripture says. They neither heard God's word, and they neither proclaimed God's word. God's word is written in St. John's Gospel, is Christ Jesus himself. In John 1, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Here the scripture and St. John tells us that the Jewish people lived in darkness and did not comprehend God's word. Therefore, Jesus was sent by his Father to open up the ears and mouths of people. God wanted to be reconciled with his people who had gone astray. They listened to God's word, but they did not understand nor hear what God said to them. And in the end, neither did they accept his Son as their Messiah. There are many scripture references to those who have eyes that are blind, ears that are deaf, and tongues that cannot speak. In Psalm 135 we read, they have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. In Ephesians 4 we read, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, and because of the blindness of their heart. In 2 Corinthians we read, but their minds were blinded. For until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is only taken away by Christ himself. And if we do not know Christ, the veil will never be taken away. Here we see that being blind is not limited to just our eyes, but also can affect our hearts and our minds. In today's gospel passage, we have a deaf and dumb man regaining his hearing and voice by a miracle of Jesus Christ. He was not blind, but he was deaf and mute. In translation, this man represents two failures of God's chosen people. They would not hear the word of God when it was freely and generously given, nor would they speak good of his name. And even though the disabled man could see as a symbol of the Jewish people, it is very probable that he would remain blind to God's word and promises. Ironically, God's chosen people are not alone. In a way, we are also blind to God's word and promises because we are sinful and have fallen away from God. We are in need of constant repentance and redemption, and we are in need of reconciliation with God. As evidenced by this disabled man, our eyes can deceive us more than what we hear or say. This is because our eyes are the channel into our very souls. So if our enemy wants to deceive us, then our eyes are the best place to start. It is our eyes that encounter our first desires, then our ears, our touch, our taste and smell, and so on. On the surface, we witnessed the reading of a miracle that gave a disabled man voice and hearing. The miracle is evident of Christ as the Messiah, because in Isaiah 35 we read, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing. When Christ commands us with the word ephatha, he intends for us to open our ears to hear the word of God, and our mouths to praise and sing to him. In a word, he wants us to open up and receive him. In the end, Christ asks that those who witness the miracle keep quiet. He is setting the example for us to do well for one another, not to boast or for self-gain or to bring attention to ourselves like the musical group, the Showmen. Our Father in heaven knows what to do, and our ultimate reward is in heaven, not on this earth. If we receive acclaim for our good deeds on earth, we negate our otherwise great reward God has in store for us hereafter. We should all seek to be good servants of Christ and be a constant light to a lost world. Let us not be blind. Let us not be crippled. And let us not be mute to the glory of God. Let us be humble and obedient and go forth to love and serve the Lord. Indeed, Christ hath done all things well. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.